good news that in 2025 we still have a Heavenly Father who watches over us. Giving all praises to God, to our officers and members, to our family and friends, visitors and guests. We do thank God for this another privilege to come together and worship His name. We know that we come here from somewhere, and many of us come from trouble and trials, storms and confusion, but yet we are here together. And there's a story in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that tells of a time when the church was in one place and on one accord. And the scripture says that the Spirit came down upon them. And so we still live in anticipation of our togetherness moving the Spirit of God. This morning, we would like to call your attention to Genesis chapter 3, often read passage. Genesis chapter 3. And we would like to begin reading at the first verse. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Moses, these words are recorded. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may not eat fruit from the trees in the garden. We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Then the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. We read it to your hearing, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would simply like to tag this text, Sin 101. Sin 101. This is the basics of sin. We ain't going to get too deep into your sins, and I hope you don't be prying too deep into mine. Just know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But on this fifth Sunday of Lent, as we march steadily toward Easter Sunday, where we celebrate a risen Savior, it's important for us to stop and think about sin. It was so important that God didn't wait to introduce it in the scripture. It's Genesis chapter 3. He created everything, created man and woman. Then in chapter 3, he introduced sin into the subject. We have to know the basics of sin. But we live in a time where there's so much cloudy, so much information, so much stuff happening that we can't see sin clearly. So in this text, we have an opportunity to look at a case study in sin. You see, in a case study, you rid yourself of all of the independent variables to study the thing itself. And certainly with Eve, as the serpent approached Eve, Eve was in a totally different place than you and I. For you see, Eve didn't have any of the drama that we come into the world with. Some of the drama that we have, not because of our own doing, but because of our parents' doing. There's some drama we're introducing in our lives that don't have anything to do with us. It's economic, it's political, it's social. But here with Eve, she had none of those variables. She didn't have no family heritage to reach back on. She couldn't blame her high blood pressure on her mama and them. She couldn't blame sugar on her daddy. She couldn't say if my ancestor would have did better. She had none of the excuses, yet the tempter came to her. Not only did she not have any of the drama, she didn't have any of the trauma. She ain't coming off a divorce. She ain't coming off a breakup. She's not coming off of losing a job. She's not coming off of being put out of the house, losing her car in repo. She ain't come off of none of the drama. She ain't been backstabbed by nobody. She ain't been lied on by nobody. Nobody called her out of her name. Nobody has ever disrespected her. She ain't never been talked down to, looked down on, and treated bad. She had none of those variables. Yet we see in this text, the tempter still came. She did not have the heritage on which to blame her sin. We have the tempter comes, and in this world, it was a perfect environment. It was paradise. It was perfect heat and perfect cool. It was, there was a man a few years ago, he said he wanted to build an astro city. He's gonna build it and he'll pick and choose who can come in. He said it's gonna be 75 degrees year round. So you know this billionaire from Texas. I think 75 is perfect degrees, only in Texas. And he was going to regulate who comes in and who goes out. Everything he was going to regulate. And nobody said anything to this billionaire preacher, this billionaire who had these plans, except one preacher. He wrote an article to the editor, and the editor, he said, you can build your Astro City, but you won't be able to keep out envy. You won't be able to keep out jealousy. You won't be able to keep out, I'm right and you wrong. You won't be able to keep out, they're doing too little and I'm doing too much. Well, no matter what Astro City you build, the sin and the tempter will come in. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be mindful today that no matter what paradise you are trying to build, a parasite will show up. You can't build the perfect marriage. You can't build the perfect childhood. You can't build the perfect family. There is no such thing because there is a parasite in paradise. I mean, he shows up unannounced, uninvited. He didn't get a call, didn't get a text, didn't get an invite. He just shows up. He shows up. The tempter shows up, and he shows up in disguise. If you're going to know anything about sin, you need to know that the tempter don't come straight through the door. There's no blood contract with the devil. You ain't make no deal with the devil and sign it and read it. There's no negotiating with the devil. There's no plans with the devil. You don't have no procedures. It ain't none of that. You ain't signing on the dotted line or any of that. He is a liar. And the truth ain't in him. He comes in disguise. Whatever he say, don't believe it. The devil is such a liar, he got to ask somebody else to call his dog for him. He's a liar. You can't believe a word that come out of his mouth. How can you negotiate with a terrorist? But he comes in disguise. Eve was not weary of a serpent. She wasn't scared of no spider. She wasn't scared of no bugs. She wasn't scared of mosquitoes. She wasn't scared of no wasps. She wasn't scared of no hawks. She wasn't scared of no tigers. She wasn't scared of no lion. And she was not afraid when the serpent came upon her. And he comes. He slid up under her. First, the tempter will come. But the second thing you need to know is that he is a religious devil. Note the question that he asked. Did God say? Listen, he didn't care about her president. He didn't care about her vote. He didn't care about her ideology. He didn't care about her philosophy, her political position. Did God say? You know, the devil don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. He don't care if you red or blue. He don't care if you're for Trump or against Trump. He don't care. All he cares is about your relationship with God. And he comes to separate us from God. He comes and he says to her, did God really say? The devil, he comes, the tempter, he comes to lead us away from God into sin. First, his trick is the oldest trick in the book. It's the first trick of the devil and the same trick he tried to pull on Jesus. I know many of us, we fail all the time, but when he pulled it on Jesus, Jesus passed the test. What trick does he pull? He tries to lure you into doubting God's word. Bruh, he don't care if you believe in the Constitution or not. He don't care if you believe in all these other documents. All he care about, do you believe in God's word? Did God say? It's God's word. And many of us, that's get us tripped up. Did God say tithe? Yes, he did. Did he say love one another? Yes, he did. Did he say forgive? Yes, he did. God said, and it's in his word. Now, we live in the 2025. We think what we care, what we like matters. See, you can't hold your breath longer than God. You can't pout longer than God. You can't fuss longer than God. You don't have enough time in your lifetime to be angry with God. You better get amends with God. See, God always got the high road. He always got the high position. Why? Because he operates outside of time. He got nothing but time. And I only got about 15, 20 more minutes. See, he got the... Try to explain all of it to you. but you can't, and the devil knows that. The devil knows that if he can bring doubt on God's word, it will lead us into sin. And if we look around at the world today, that's all we're seeing. We're seeing people who don't believe in God's word. They're not afraid of your vote. They're not afraid of your protest. And they're not afraid of God. If you're not afraid of God, you'll do anything. When you're not afraid of God, you're robbed from the poor to pay the rich. When you're not afraid of God, you take food out of baby's mouth. When you're not afraid of job, you'll take folk job when they need it the most. When you're not afraid of God, it leads us into sin. Isn't that true for you and I? Amen. 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 It was a long time ago before I got married. When I was standing 6'5", had a high top fade, weighed about 220, were playing linebacker. That, back in the good old days, I knew I shouldn't have. I knew my mama had raised me better. But when the time came for me to make that decision between whether I go along with the fellas or I stand up with my Sunday school class and do all the things they had taught me to do. I don't mind confessing today, I failed the test. I don't mind saying it because I can look around the room. Some of you failed some tests too. Like I flunked out. Amen. He comes to get us to doubt God's word. Get us to think that it's not toward us. It's for somebody else. He didn't mean that to me. He meant that for somebody else. Somebody else's. That is what God. Somebody here right now is thinking, I wish somebody was here to hear what he said. And God sent you here. It's to cause doubt. The devil wants to cause doubt and he attacked God's word. Many people don't believe in the inerrancy of the Bible as a whole, except on this particular issue between me and God. We're sure God doesn't mean it when he says you will surely die. For thousands of years, Satan had repeated this strategy over and over again in modern themes. The author manipulates the plot in which the characters are in deep disobedience to God, and yet the story works out. Have you seen those stories? I can't watch them anymore. I get so frustrated with these weak characters that, you know, I didn't like the Green Lantern, you know. The dude fought it the whole time. Then he comes the hero at the end. It's like, where does that happen in real life? Where does that happen? Only in TV that you see the most trifling people, the most shiftless people, the most slifling people. Then all of a sudden at the end, the last clip, it works out for them. That's a lie, brothers and sisters. The dropout don't get the job all the time. The person that leads don't always win. The person that quits don't always come up on top. We live in these stories, and it's the devil's strategy to convince us of the inerrancy of God's word. Everyone don't ride off into the sunset. Everyone don't live happily ever after. You can't commit sin and sin and sin against God and think God gonna just bless you. No, there are consequences to our sin. This is sin one-on-one. Basic sin. The tempter will come, and he will come in a disguise to lure you away from God and to cause you to doubt God's word. But not only does he want you to doubt God's word, he wants you to doubt God's character. He wants you to think that God is out to get you. The God that created you, the God that created your lungs, then created the air for you to breathe, he's out to get you. The one that created you will be 90% water, however much water is in you, that he created H2O, that he could always have enough available for you. That same God is somehow out to get you. He wants you to question God's character, especially when God says no. You know, God would be really abusive if he said yes to everything. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't like it when my parents were saying yes too much. It made me nervous. I got to start thinking, like, well, they're up to something. They're trying to set me up. This is a trap. But it didn't last long. I graduated from college one summer. And I went back home that whole June. Boy, mama was catering to my knees, boy. She was fixing breakfast for me, lunch, dinner. AC was on all day. I would turn on, watch my show. And then somewhere along the line, July came. All of a sudden, my parents were coming home with toothpicks in their mouths. And where's dinner? We ate out. My dad would take the remote control and then go to sleep on the couch. Like, turn off the AC until we get home in the evening. Like, y'all don't get home till 6 o'clock. It's gonna be hot all day. I have trouble with, God would not be God if he said yes all the time. And God wouldn't be God if God was only limited to our understanding. I don't want God to have to explain himself to me. If God got to lower himself to explain himself to me, you know, there's some things I still don't understand. I don't understand how planes fly. I don't understand how ships float. And how dare I stand up and ask God to explain himself to me. His character. Satan wants us to doubt the goodness of his character. He attacked his character that is behind God's word. Suppose someone whispered in Naomi's ear, Naomi, you know, Ruth ain't nothing but a gold digger. She's a manipulator. All she want to do is get out of her country and get a free pass into Israel and marry a wealthy Jew. She knows you are her passport to the future. If someone would have told Naomi that about Ruth, she'd been looking at her side eye every day. She'd been looking at her. waiting on her to show her hand, waiting. And that's how the devil works with us and God. He always wants us to look at God sideways, like God is out to destroy our happiness, like God is out to destroy our joy. No, God ain't out to destroy your happiness. God is trying to give you real joy. Joy that passes understanding. Joy that don't come with the president and don't go when the election is over. Joy that's unspeakable. The joy you have even when you got a pocket full of money or when you're broke down to your last dime. I still have joy. He wants you to question the goodness of God, and therefore you will doubt him. We suffer such a twisted will that even when good happens, we sometimes still doubt God's goodness. God doesn't really want me to enjoy it. He'll put it back like a sadistic parent. So we knock on wood and hammer at the heart of God. When you doubt God's goodness, you are doubting his word. If you believe God restricts you and wants you to hold you back from enjoying life, then the work of the tempter is complete. At that moment, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and gave some to her husband. Now the forbidden fruit has been passed because it pleased her eyes. She saw it. And don't we live in that age today that they want to put everything in your face? Want you to look at things you can't have, things you don't, shouldn't have, things you, not even for you, but the temptation is forever in our face. We live in a time now where the tempter, Satan, is still busy at work. It's not about a piece of fruit, but it's about disobedience to God's word. It's suspicion of God's character. The fruit is out in the periphery. The sin stands at the center. Whenever you come to deny the goodness of God, then at that point you've come to reject his word. The fruit is only the point of disobedience. Sin is ever at the door. And as we get ready to approach Easter, we know that Jesus died for our sin. And he was raised for our justification. So what do? We have to learn how to trust in God. I like what the choir sung today. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. I may not understand Genesis to Revelation, but I trust in God because he cares for me. I don't understand everything about eschatology and teschatology and end timesology, but I trust in God because I know he cares for me. Over mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, through billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. And so I'll trust him. I'll trust him when I can't track him. I'll trust him when I can't trace him. I'll trust him even when I can't see where he's going. I will trust him. I will trust him till I die. And I still falter, but I have to trust in him for the cure. When I sin, I trust that he is able to forgive me and allow me to move on just a little while longer. Sin 101. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, as the deacons and the ushers and greeters come, we invite you to accept Jesus. And those that are watching online, if you would add in the comment, and we will definitely reach out to you. Come to the Lord. yours to extend. It was yours to accept. May God bless you and keep you. At this time, if you would, make yourselves ready for communion.